After 2 years of physical absence, we realized how much we had missed him the first time he spoke. You know, if you are cooking something and a particular ingredient is missing, when you taste it, it won't taste as it should. Some, the flavor won't be there. And there are men who have come repeatedly to this conference and who have brought some rich spiritual flavor into the meeting and an added dimension to it. So we thank you, sir, for honoring our invitation. We don't take it for granted at all. All right. I don't take it for granted at all. I mean, I used to travel regularly for Southwest Believers Convention. And I think I went once or twice for the Great Lakes Convention in Milwaukee. Yeah, that's where it was. And I think that was the first, I might be wrong, but I think that was the first Brother Copeland's meeting that Dr. Bill Winston spoke in. And, I mean, it was extremely powerful. The message totally transformed my life. I remember the head usher telling me then, when I came back and I preached in church, let me just say this. She said, when are you traveling again, Pastor? You've not traveled for a long time. I said, what's the problem? She said, last time you came back, you came transformed. Go again, wherever you went, and come back transformed. Let's welcome Dr. Bill Winston.
Let's lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the anointing in this house. We thank you for the anointing upon me and these lips of clay that I speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you, think to my mind, speak to my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow the word preached. Now we give you praise. Call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat, please. I know you think you'll go get some money, don't you? You think you're going to get some. Let's open our Bibles, please. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. We're teaching on, at night, we're teaching on the becoming miracle-minded. And we started this last night. We taught on leadership today. How many of you are here today for a leadership session? Praise God. How many of you got some money today? Praise God. All right, so all right, let's Isaiah 8:18. I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Now this is key because God is prophetically speaking about what we're made for. He's speaking about the people of God. And we're made for signs and for wonders. All right, let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's look at it first, the King James translation. He says that, be ye followers of God as dear children. Be ye followers of God as dear children. But let's look at it in the Amplified translation. It says, be ye imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children. Imitate their father. So he wants us to imitate him. Who is him? God. So we're to imitate God. We're to love like God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
But we're to dominate like God. So God is giving us this idea and putting it in our spirits that we are to imitate the Father, imitate Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 10, He said, "It's not me, it's a Father in me. He's doing the work." And then He said in verse 12, He said, "If that he that believeth on me, the things that I do shall he do also." And what? "Greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father." So let's go now to Acts chapter 20, 20 and verse 32, because it's going to all be done by grace. And he says, Paul talking here, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Say, "I'm sanctified." So this grace that he's talking about, we preached on it today. Matter of fact, we gave a little money away on that. Some people who came up and read for me. Is there anybody want to read for me tonight? Well, I don't need you yet. Okay? Amen. Okay. Whoever's got that whistle, whoever got that whistle, come in. Whoever got that whistle, that one whistle, come in. Come in. Whoever's got that whistle, come in. No, you don't. Oh, you got it? You got the whistle?
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is the whistle? You don't have the whistle. Where's the whistle? You don't have the whistle. Come in. He's got the, oh, let him come. He's got the, hey, go sit down. Go sit down. You got the whistle? Where is it? Blow it. All right. Okay. Come on. Man. All right. Now. That's all we gonna give away tonight. That's been our plan. Y'all are trying to take all my money. No, you can't break Bill. Praise God. Okay. All right, let's look at this. We're talking about becoming miracle what? You didn't say it loud enough. Becoming miracle what? Yeah, becoming miracle-minded. All right, what we said is the Bible is a miracle book. And we went through that last night talking about, we talked about all the way from Noah and talked about all the way through. The Bible is a miracle book. Say miracle book.
Miracle.
So the Bible is a miracle book. No doubt about that. Things that are happening in this Bible are miracles. Look what it said about Jesus in terms of this Bible being a miracle book. This is found in John chapter 21, verse 25. Over in John chapter 21, verse 25, it said if he had all the books in the world, they couldn't hold the miracles that Jesus did. That tells me Jesus was doing miracles every day, every minute. He was just working miracles. And then he said, you and I are to be like him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. And then the Bible, through miracles, we get, many times we get some of our solutions. And we get some of the things that we're needing here in this earth, and we call it supplies. We get solutions and supplies. We saw here where in Matthew's gospel in chapter 15 and verse 30, you see that it brought the sick people to Jesus. And the Bible says those people that were blind and halt and so forth, and they also mentioned people that were maimed, say maimed. So they were maimed. They were missing an organ, a leg, or missing an arm or some appendage. And notice what happened. Jesus, the Bible says, he healed all of them insomuch that the blind see, the lame walk, the maimed were made whole. So then Jesus said, you're supposed to do what he does. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now we know science has made a lot of progress. In other words, somebody's missing a limb can get a prophetic limb. And I always feel like this thing is leaning up here, like I'm supposed to run back here, but I don't know why I feel that way. But anyway, so here, this arm or leg, notice what Jesus did. He provided that for that person. He provided that missing limb for that person. Now, this is interesting about it, because it left no trace of the previous condition. My friend David Yedepo, and he showed me a picture, had a picture of a man who apparently got an elbow. And this was a situation where this man had been hearing the teachings and he had surgery and they'd put in this piece in his elbow. And so what happened in one night, he went home, I guess he believed God. And during the night, something happened. And he woke up the next morning and the piece that they put in his elbow was laying on the side of the bed. And his elbow was completely whole. Is this the right side I'm talking to over here? It was completely whole. If they had it, they'll put a picture up there for you so you can see it. But my point to you is becoming miracle-minded. It's a whole nother realm. And there it is. And that's the piece. Now, no stitches, no sign of an operation. All that's gone. All that's gone. Now, this is what you can do. Now, I know it seems far-fetched because what we said today is that God's grace can actually remove the lid off of your mental system. Cause you to go up higher. In Chicago, listen, I started out very humbly in a place in one of the roughest areas in Chicago at Lake and Pulaski on the west side. But I moved and moved quickly, praise God, and moved up to a place at Forest Park. And then God, one day when we were coming out of a place that we rented, he said, buy that shopping mall. Now, that wasn't my thought. That wasn't my thought. But if you look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28 through 31, you'll see he did the same thing with Peter. And here's what Peter said. As Jesus walked on the water to go towards him, he said, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. That wasn't Peter's thought. Peter got that thought from somewhere. See, you and I are not sovereign. We need an overlord. We were designed like that. Oh, we can think, but original thinking has to come from somewhere. And so God has made it so he can think through you. He says over in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. As the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give to seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Say amen. Amen. So I'm saying, he wasn't saying, stay down there, don't think like me. No, he was saying this, come on up. Come on up, think like God. God is going to start giving you new thoughts. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, I told you, I was looking at television when I was in a grade school. I thought I liked Superman, so I looked at him every day. And as I looked at Superman every day, I began to be drawn to Superman to the point that I ordered a Superman shirt. And I got this shirt, and pretty soon I got a sheet from my mother and put it around my neck and began to run through the house. And then after that, I began to get so carried away till I got up on the roof and I said, I'm going to fly down to Wendy's house. How many of you know which way I went? Down. Because it wasn't based on the word of God. But when you find it in the word of God and you believe it, then all things become possible to you. Say amen. All right, so I'm saying now, solutions and supplies, they come through miracles. And also, when miracles are not at work, then the evil gains ground. I'll try it again. When miracles and signs and wonders and the supernatural is not at work, miracles gain ground. The enemy continues to take over in our school system. The enemy continues to take over in political corruption. The enemy continues to take over. Next thing you know, you've got chaos. But you're here to do something about that. He said, let them have dominion. Glory to God. But look what it says. Put it up here. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Over what? The fish of the sea. Over what else? The fowl of the air. Over what else? Cattle. And what else? Over how much of the earth? Say, I have dominion over all the earth in Jesus' name. Oh, that's good preaching, man. All right, now my point to you is God wants us to exercise this dominion. And many times where God has called us a giant slayer, many people have thought they were grasshoppers. But I got good news for you. We're going to get rid of that grasshopper image. You can tell the grasshoppers goodbye. All right. Okay, so next, miracles leave no trace. So let's go to Mark chapter 5 again to look at that. Mark chapter 5. Now, what I'm doing with all of these scriptures is I'm making you miracle-minded. Look at verse 5. This is when Jesus arrived up in this coastline, and here comes a madman. We call him the madman of Gadara. He runs up on Jesus. Now, this man is mad and is naked. Now, I know we can read that and don't think much of it, but how would you like a naked man to run up on you out there in the street while you're crossing the street? Now, that'll catch your attention, won't it? What are you doing? Now, I'm saying this man was mad. He was cutting himself full of demons. Now, what Jesus did is he got the man delivered. Now, in verse 15, people came back, his disciples, the ones he was teaching, and they came back. And when they did, they saw this man sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what was the condition of the man? He was what? All right. He was clothed and in his what mind? In his right mind. Now, this is kind of easy to believe that he can be in his right mind after Jesus gets a hold of him. He can put a person in their right mind. Am I right about that? But here's a question for you. Where did he get the clothes from? Let me go over the other side. Where did the man, see, you're passing this off. Well, one of them brought an extra pair of clothes. No. They didn't have the clothes his size. Where did the man get the clothes from? See, this is the key. This is the key. And that's what I told you last night. I said, here are some apostles, and they shut him up in jail. And then the Sanhedrin, or the Council of Jews, said, go get him out of jail and then bring him back here. Let's interrogate him. Why? Because they were preaching Jesus and working miracles. And they went and got him, and they brought him. They went to get him to bring him back. But the man came back, and this is what he said. I went to the jail. The jail was locked. It was sealed. And the guards were in place. And I looked in the jail, and nobody was there. All right, help me. How did they get out? The jail was locked. I'm gonna go over here. The jail was locked. See, I'm forcing you. I'm forcing you to think miracles.
Yes, sir.
Because you've been made for them. This whole earth will bow down to you. If you know what Jesus knows, you become Satan's master.
Yes, sir.
I said, you become Satan's master. You tell him what to do. This is good preaching, man. I'm just saying for you, where did the clothes come from? All right. How did they get out of jail? I'm saying this is worth thinking about. Isn't this worth thinking about? Well, we don't think of that. Well, because you don't think that, you don't rise. And for you to run this earth, you're going to have to rise. This, when he said, let them have dominion, this is operating out of your spirit, not out of your natural mind. Your natural mind can't handle this. That's what got us where we were, our natural minds. All right, so I'm not going to go far with that. Let me just go with something else. Here is Peter fishing. He's fished all night and caught nothing. So here comes Jesus, the miracle worker. And he comes and says, Peter, could I use your boat? Peter gives him permission. He gets in the boat and says, push out just a little from the shore. He pushes out. And then Jesus sits down and teaches the people. And once he finishes teaching, he turns to Peter and said, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a large catch, a draught. And Peter said, well, Master, we have toiled all night. Lord have mercy. Where did toiling come from? It came from the curse. Adam didn't toil until he sinned. Once he sinned, toiling came in. But you and I have been redeemed from toiling. I said, you have been redeemed from toiling. Let me say it like this. I decree you'll never toil another day in your life. Okay. In Jesus' name. All right. So he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Now that word is different from the word in the first verse. That word is rhema. Not logos. It is rhema. It is the spoken word. And when Peter did this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. Watch this. And the net broke. And he called for his partners who were in the other ship. He said, come, get some of these fish. And both of them filled up their boats. To the point where the boats were about to sink. Stay with me. Where did the fish come from? Now you see what I'm getting at? Because you're about to start getting this. This lake had been fished. It had been fished sufficiently. So here is Jesus not asking him to launch out at night. He asked him to launch out in the broad daylight. And when he did, he caught fish that popped his net. And then his partners brought all the fish in. Now you've got to hear what I'm saying. Now stay with me here. I like that. I almost gave you some money for that. Man, you came close. All right. Okay, now wait a minute now. Come on. Here is 2 Kings and 2 Kings chapter 4, where a woman's two kids, children are about to be taken and put in bondage because her husband has died and left them in bondage. Now, what's happening? She cries to the man of God. Place a demand on the covenant or on the anointing. And the next thing you know, he comes out with an answer. And he said, now here's what you do. What do you have in your house? She said, well, I don't have anything. We had to sell the color TV and all of that stuff we had to get rid of. Only thing I've got is a little jar of oil. Now stay with me. And so what happens? I'm going somewhere. Come on up. I heard the voice of faith. Let me see, is this still? I think that's 100. Okay, all right. No, that wasn't the voice of faith. All right, now wait a minute. Okay, so wait a minute. She was instructed to go borrow some vessels. Don't borrow a few. And she borrowed the vessels. Come in and shut the door with you and your sons and begin to pour. So as you've got these vessels lined up, she takes this little jar of oil and begins to pour. What happened? The oil kept flowing. Question. Where did the oil, come from? Come on now. Where did it come from? See, I'm just saying, all of this is already done. What God has for you in heaven is an inexhaustible supply of everything you'll ever need. And the only thing you need to bring it into reality is faith in God. And you can have the kind of faith that can make a dry lake have fish. You can make a Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me here? So the oil didn't come from the jar. It came what? Through the jar. Come on, say it with me. It came through. This man, he had a meeting. He had an evangelistic meeting. And God told him to have it. It was a big meeting. And he had a big bill from the meeting. And God said, have it and take up an offering. So he took the offering up, and the people that were with him went back and counted the money. They counted the money, and the amount that he owed the people who were charging him for the facility and all of that, that money didn't even come up to about half of that. And here he went to God, said, God, this money that I took up does not pay hardly half of this bill. Here's what God said. Watch this now. Tell them to count it again. Watch this. They counted it again, and it still didn't come up to what he needed. He went to God, said, God, they counted it, but it's still not enough. God said this. Come on with it. Tell them to count it again. Come on now. God can multiply while you count. Now, are y'all with me here? That we gotta expect miracles. We gotta stop being so mindful of the fact that if you can't think of it, God can't think of it. Or if you can't do it, God can't do it. Let me tell you something. There is a miracle waiting for you. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm talking to somebody now. Amen. How many in here can use at least one miracle? You're going to get it this month. Yeah. Praise God in Jesus' name. See, when it's time for your miracle, the devil will give you a dare. I dare you to do this. I dare you to put that in. I dare you to say that. I dare you to say. And what you got to do is you got to take that dare. When he dares give you a dare, you're right at the door. I said, when you give, he gives you a dare, you're right at the door. Say amen to that. All right, let me keep going here. Lord have mercy. What's going to fix this city is a miracle. Anything less won't do it. You need the blessing of the Lord to fix this. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And it is well able to fix any city that is here. I told you what I said. We're turning jails into boarding schools. And look what we're about to do. Not only do we have subjects in there. Not only are we teaching in there. Not only are we taking and going and taking people through literacy training in there. But now we're about to open up a trading floor in the jailhouse. Why? Because they have just started a school behind the bars. It is a high school. Glory to God. Give God praise. Amen. All right. All right. Let's get down to something. Now, I'm going to take you out there a little bit. So tighten your seatbelt on this. All right. Now. No, ain't no money on that. That was too weak. And I don't carry any ones. Okay, now, watch this. Watch this. You were designed to live from the inside out.
Amen.
Not the outside in. You were designed to live from the inside out. God designed your body to keep up with your spirit.
Yes,
God designed your body to keep up with your spirit. You with me?
Yes.
So, now, with that, he has made it so that your boundary is not what you can do physically. It's not what you can do physically. Your boundary is in your spirit. And he says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. That word issues in the Hebrew is boundaries. So my boundary is not in my flesh. So no wonder Peter could walk on water. No wonder the prophet could outrun the chariot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Same in here.
Yes.
Now you gotta get that. That's more than just hearing it. You gotta meditate that, because once you meditate that and see where your boundary is, then you'll find that you no longer have to say no to a lot of things that you said no to. But it, from your spirit, you can make this happen.
Yes, sir.
And so Peter did that, walking on the water and so forth. All right, I want to keep going. All right. So you are in the world to convert the world. You're in it, but not what? Of it. You're here to convert the world. They are supposed to see something. And I said to you that just winning souls and ones and twos and threes and fours, that is not what the apostles did. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 were saved. One miracle. Over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, 5,000 were saved. One miracle. Come in. Don't sit down. All right. Now, don't nobody say anything else while I'm preaching. come on, I gotta get out of here now. I gotta go home tonight. All right, now, I'm about to go somewhere. Just hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm about to go somewhere. Now this, you're gonna have to do something with this. Get the tape or write it down or something. God is wanting us to come up. Come up. And he's always after us to do that. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, he said, you move from glory to glory. Okay? Over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, 17, he said, you move from faith to faith. Alright? So we're gonna move. We're gonna come on up. Now what are we coming up to? God is no longer interested in coming down to our circumstance-dominated life. God wants us to come up where we belong, up to a circumstance-dominating life.
Yes, sir.
You'll find that if you hear these teachings and don't do them, you'll describe in Hebrews and chapter 12, pardon me, 5 and verse 12, and he says, if you hear the word and are not a doer of the word, he said, you'll have to come back and hear it again, that you can't get off of milk, and you're not going to rescue this city on milk. You're going to have some meat. Say amen to that.
Yeah.
You will see that as they went progressively from Egypt over to the wilderness, over to Canaan, every place they changed their diet. Because if you want to go to another level, you're going to have to eat on another level. You're going to have to eat on it. And here is Jesus with the disciples over in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Notice what happened. They were going over to the other side. Jesus fell asleep. Notice a storm came. And next thing they know, they cried out for Jesus and accused him of not caring. Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So here is the enemy, robbed them of all their faith. And the next thing you know, they're about to sink. If Jesus wasn't on that boat, they would have been a statistic. You hear what I'm saying? They needed to understand miracles. They needed to understand the supernatural of God and how to make it work. I'm talking about miracles on demand. Oh, boy. So, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Now, here's what's happening. Stay with me now, because I've got to put this together. I've got it kind of written down. God has planned for our plans and provisions to be supplied by faith through our spirit. God has planned for our plans and provisions to be supplied how? By faith through our spirit. Y'all with that? Now, understand, back in Adam's time, his spirit was supplying this things that he needed. And his hands are there to gather what the spirit has produced. Let me ask you a question. Jesus curse of fig tree. How? He spoke to it. And next thing you know, the next morning, it had dried up from the roots. So here is Jesus. He's doing things like taking trees out without an axe. Man, come on, y'all. Saints, you got to get this, because this is the way you're going to rescue this city. And God has not only got you in ownership position, but he's got you in a stewardship position. In other words, you're going to have to rescue this city, because this city is in your jurisdiction. Say amen to that. And when it's in your jurisdiction, God is holding you responsible for it. All right. Next. So, when God said, glory to God. Boy, also, that almost, you almost made it. No, that's not it, sister. Okay. Now watch this. Watch this now. When he said, be fruitful. When he said, be fruitful, he was talking about the superior method of the spirit realm producing what you need. He was talking, now this is, listen folks, stay with me, because this is, after I preach this, I'm out. But I'm telling you right now, this, what I'm telling you, is what the church must preach if we want to mature and start doing the things that God planned for us to do before the church came here. The church, Joel chapter 2 says, the church, there's none like it, and there'll be nothing like it when it leaves. The church is fitting in a little sliver of time. The church has come in. This is the church age. After the Maccabees and all of that, boom, here comes the church. Jesus birthed the church into the earth. And now here's the church, but it's the most powerful institution in the world ever. There's nothing more powerful. When you leave here, there'll be nothing coming that's more powerful than the church. The church is more powerful. If you look at James chapter 5, it says Elisha was a man of like passion as we are, and he spoke, and it rained not on the earth for a matter of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and it started raining. Now here's one man. Oh, have mercy. I'm not going to come down, and we'll give you this, and then I'm out. Now hear what I'm saying. Joseph had a dream. Oh, have mercy. Lord God, how do I do this? Okay, wait a minute. Let me give you another point. God is not interested in confirming or promoting and reinforcing where you are right now. He's not interested in that. God is interested in you coming up. Come on up and fulfill the plan that he has for you and your destiny. I'll try it again. He is not interested in promoting you, just operating in the flesh and operating where everybody is operating. He's not interested in that. He is saying, come on up. I said, he's saying, come on up. One more time. He is saying, come on up. That you, God's ability is at your disposal. I'm going to say it again. God's ability is at your disposal. I don't care how you look at me, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Wait, you see, if I don't preach it, if nobody preaches it, you'll never get there. You will never get there. The church will be just as carnal as a goat. We have the dominion power over this earth. I mean all of it. All of it. Here is one man, David, one man. And here's Saul. He has been 40 days out there, battling, Goliath and this army, and Goliath busy selling wolf tickets. He is busy threatening the army, and Saul and them all dug out and fearful. Here comes one 17-year-old boy. He said, what's the deal here? What's going on? You gonna let the man talk about your mama like that? He said, let me tell you, he said, wait a minute. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This is one man who knows who he is. And he said, I had taken a lion, I have killed a bear, and I can take him too. And they've been 40 days. You know what 40 days does? 40 days eats up the financial reserves of a nation. That's what Ukraine is doing. That's, they're over there. Listen, we're sending $40 billion to them, and some of the European countries are sending some to them. Thank God for that. We all have pity, and we want them to succeed. So forth. We don't want them to be invaded and people be hurt. We know that. But look how it's dipping into our treasuries. What do they need? They need one man who believes that he can operate in God's ability. Now, you can look at me strange if you want to. They need a miracle. They need one man to come to the front line and say, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? Now, how is God going to do it? We don't know. But over in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16 through 21, we found out how he could do it. A whole army came after one man. An army. And notice what the man did. The man's servant panicked. He said, what are we going to do now? He said, listen, cool it, man. There are more with us than be with them. And notice what happened. He prayed and said, Lord, blind them. And God blinded every person in the enemy army. Now, if he can do it in the Old Testament, you know good and well he can do it for you. You got a better covenant. But we're not miracle. We're not that. One prayer can stop it. Here is Peter in prison, and they're going to kill him the next day. And what did Peter do? He's there asleep. And next thing you know, here's a group praying for him. This is in Acts chapter 12, and they're praying, of 12, and they're praying for him. And then they got done praying, and this one woman named Rhoda. I believe that was the only woman that was praying the prayer of faith. And this woman, next thing you know, angel came to Peter and said, get up, let's go. And Peter thought he was dreaming. He got up. He said, get your coat on. Let's go. The jail opened by itself. The guards went to sleep. Next thing you know, he got to the gate of the city. The city gates opened by themselves. I'm saying the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And he came and knocked at the door of the people that were praying for him. And Rhoda came and answered the door. She had recognized Peter. She ran back and said, Peter's at the door. Here's what they said. No, he ain't. That's his angel. He is not at the door. See, not miracle-minded. Come on, you better say it. Not miracle-minded. I'm saying from this night, you're going to be miracle-minded. I'm talking about if your car needs some gas and you pull it into your house at night and it's on E, then you're going to say, I believe if I lay hands on this car tonight, I'm going to get up in the morning and it's going to be on F. Now, I'm just saying, start thinking crazy thoughts. Because when you're dealing with God, you're going to have to, here's a person in our ministry. And he heard me preaching on this, he and his wife. So they go to buy a new car. They go to buy a new car. They went there. They sat down and they bought the car. They wanted the car right on the showroom floor. Beautiful, spanking, brand new. And notice what happened. They sat down. The salesman said, now give me your social security number. That's what they use in the U.S. And he gave it to him. And he looked at his credit. He said, oh, no, sir. He said, sir, we're not going to be able to help you. You're going to need somebody to get you some money and so forth. And he sat back in his chair, and God said this, get up, take your wife, march around the car 7 times, and come back and sit down. Let me come over here. And I know this doesn't move you because you're hard to move. But my point to you is, after the night, you're going to be miracle-minded. Awesome. So what did he do? He obeyed God, marched around the car how many times? 7 times. How many times, days did they march around Jericho? I'm just saying God did it once, he can do it again. And when he did and sat back down, God told him, tell the salesman to look your number up again. And the salesman said, well, we just looked at it. He said, sir, could you please look it up again? He started looking it up again, and he said, wait a minute. What's your number again? And he took it in there. God had erased all the bad credit off of his account. He walked out of there with that car. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the gate is that is standing before you, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's people. In Jesus' name. Now, somebody said, well, now I don't think all that's important. When you don't have the supernatural, then evil will continue to take over. When you don't have it, when you're not using the super, when the church is carnal and not using the supernatural, the devil will take over. And I'm telling you, some people, well, he hadn't come to my house. You let him keep taking over, and somehow it's going to affect your house. Either through a law, either through bad weather, either through something. I'm saying it's time to stop the devil now. Stop him in his tracks. Make him give up everything he stole. Come on here. All right. All right, let me start closing here. This is a hard bunch. All right, now wait a minute. I know you got it. It's in your spirit. But I want you to get it manifested in your life. It's time to manifest the best of God. Yes, all right, next. God is saying now that last point. Insist on supplying your wants and your needs by a spiritual process. God now insists on supplying your wants and your needs through a spiritual process. One more time. God insists on supplying your wants and your needs by a spiritual process. We have been used to feeling everything we get. God says, stop that. Stop that. I want you to get it without feeling it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, watch this, with what? All what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Are you blessed? All right, now wait a minute. I got a couple more points and I'm going to be done. I'm going to ask the same question again. Are you blessed? I'm going to ask it one more time. Are you blessed? Everything that you can desire or ever need, God has already blessed you. He's not going to bless you. He's already blessed you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
So, as I look at this, I look at now Jesus taking the disciples and sending them out. Now notice what he did. They saw him work miracles. And now he's sending them out to do the same thing he did. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And he said over in the, Lord have mercy. Oh, can I preach this? Can I say what I want to say? He said, these signs, come on, shall follow them that believe. Say amen.
Amen.
The word there, follow, is a Greek word that has to do with companion. In other words, the miracles are going to follow you like a companion. And this is what he said. They that believe shall lay hands, come on, help me, on the sick. And what shall happen to the sick? Well, can you put it up there, please? They that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? One more time. They that believe, are you a believer?
Yes.
Shall lay hands on the sick. Come on, help me. And they shall recover.
I believe.
You believe?
Yes.
Come on up here and get something. All right. Do you believe? Then go get some of that from her. Now I want you to see this. Jesus, wait a minute, I'm almost done, just hold on. Jesus preached the kingdom. God manifested this truth that he preached. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe what I said. And God is going to give you signs and wonders so that they will believe what you spoke. Man, say amen to this. Look at the last verse over in Mark chapter 16 verse 20. And look at this last verse here. Watch this verse. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Read. What did he confirm? What did he confirm? Did he confirm them?
No.
He confirmed what?
The word.
So if you preach what Jesus preached, you ought to get the results that Jesus got. Say amen to that. So I'm finding out the first thing we have to do is come back to the kingdom and preach the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. And now the Holy Ghost's job is to manifest that word that you preach, to let people see that what you preach is true. Say amen to that. All right, the last thing I want to tell you. This is tough. I don't mind telling you, it's tough, but I'm going to believe by faith that you got it. Say amen. I'm going to believe by faith you got it. There are giants in the land. And Satan has appointed a giant for every destiny or every promise you go after. The more significant, the bigger the giant. And that giant may be a Hittite, a giant of fear. So when you're getting close to what God has given you, up comes a giant. And that giant is supposed to block the way to you getting to your promised land. Are you with me? I'm saying God has already written in heaven that you won the victory. I'll try it one more time. If you check the books of heaven, it has you down as a winner in every fight. Are you with me? So if you know it's already written in heaven, that should be confidence to you that this giant is not going to be able to stop you from getting to where you were promised. Man, Lord. Now, God says this. Lord, have mercy. God says this. Command ye me. And that's found over in Isaiah 45:11. Isaiah 45:11. Command ye me. And when here was Hezekiah and he prayed, and next thing you know, that night God sent angels and destroyed all the enemy. Or here was whatever it had you, command ye me. God saying, give me something to do. And I'm saying, if you are a king like God says you are, then you can decree a thing. And when you decree a thing according to God's word, according to what is written in heaven, all of heaven gets behind that decree. Yeah, this is crazy. All right? All right, I'm going to leave this with you and then I'm gone. This earth does not belong to the devil. This earth belongs to God and his family. Say amen to this. Now, if you don't take it, the devil will take it. Watch this and make you hate the fact you didn't take it. You hear what I'm saying? We have long enough had a very laid back attitude about finishing God's work. And the church has been meeting but not mobilized. And what we have seen this year, God told me this is the year of discipleship. And this is the year that God's going to mobilize this church, and this church is going to be on the move. And I'm saying, as you move into places, you take over jurisdiction. He said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that has he given you. Say amen to that. And I'm saying, some of them big houses behind the gates belong to you. Oh, see, I didn't get much on that. I'm saying, you need to stop letting the devil run off with all the goods that are yours. Here's what David said. He prayed. He said, God, what shall I do? God said, pursue. You will surely overtake and recover all. This is going to be the year of recovery. Everything Satan has stolen from you, I decree, is coming back this year. And it's coming back with interest. That God is going to make the devil cough up everything that belongs to you. For this year is going to be your year of recovery. This is going to be your year of restoration. I'm saying things that are yours that God has written in heaven, Satan has blocked the door, and everybody that's standing in the doorway better move because they're going to get hit. This is your time. This is your season. I'm going to say this, and I'm out of here. Every force that's trying to block you from your destiny is now going to be put down. I don't care who it is and what it is. No government's going to be able to stop you. Come on. Come on. No political party is going to be able to stop you. This is going to be your year. And I want you to do something with me. Say this. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you. You get your hands off of my property. Angels, in the name of Jesus, go get what is mine and snatch it out of their hands. It's mine, and in Jesus' name, I want it now. Right now. Whatever devil, whatever sorcery, whatever demon spirit is holding back my stuff, God is coming on you with vengeance right now. In the name of Jesus, heaven says it belongs to me. And I want it right now. I don't want any questions about it. I don't want anybody to argue with me about it. My mind is made up. I want my miracles now. Money, come to me right now. Healing, come to me right now. Relationship, you come to me right now. anything that's being held back that's got my name on it, I want it now. Now, in the name of Jesus, when I give this shout, when I give this shout, when I shout, a release is coming in the name of Jesus. When I count to three, I want you to shout. Wait a minute, but I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Wait a minute. Are you ready? One, two, three. It's done. Give me my water. One more time, if you will, give me your best shout. This is your year. Don't try to get it by the natural. Get it by faith. And I decree it's all yours. My name is Bill Winston, and I approve this message. God bless you.